24 to 27. This message is aimed at Christians this evening. But if you're not saved and you don't know if you're a Christian or not, I'll try to put some gospel in there. Show you how to be saved, how to be born again. The message is about running to win. To run to win. If you're going to be in a race, the Christian life is pictured as a race, but it's not a 100-yard dash. Amen. It's not a sprint. It's not even a 200-yard dash. Yeah. Amen. The only race that I can remember running back when I was a kid was a 400-yard run. I think that's, isn't that two times around the track? How many times is it? That's one? Well, maybe it was an 800 then. Shows you how much I know about track. I like to watch my kids run. I go to track meets. My daughter is in track. My son was in track. But I ran an 800. That's two times around the track. I was about, seven, eight, 9 years old. When I got to the finish line, I collapsed after two times around the track. And I still feel like doing that today after going two times around the track. But I can go further than that now. The message is about running to win, doing your best in the Christian life, in the Christian race. That's what Paul tells us in these verses right here. Doing your very best. The purpose is not just to participate. The purpose is not just to sit up on the sidelines and watch everybody else participate and then you cheer them on. No, you're supposed to be in the race, or you are in the race if you're a Christian. And the purpose is to win the race. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, or the church at Corinth, and of course the church at Corinth had a lot of problems. Paul wrote two letters to the church at Corinth, 1 and 2 Corinthians. And in these verses of chapter number 9, he's telling them of the importance about winning others to Jesus Christ. The importance about preaching the gospel. That was the entire thrust of his ministry, was preaching the gospel. And then he gets to the end and he says, I want you to be in the race too. You are in the race, and when you run to win. Verse 24. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. In other words, there's a lot of runners in the race, but only one person's going to win. So run that ye may obtain. Run that you so you can win. Not just to place, but to win. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, and the Christian life is also a fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The Lord could put him on the shelf. He could be disqualified from the race. So I'm going to preach to you tonight about running to win. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you, dear God, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we are helpless without you. As the Scripture says, without you we can do nothing. We have no ability. We have no intellect. We have no wisdom of our own. We can figure things out. No, Lord, we must come to you. Pray that you would help us, Lord. You said if we ask wisdom, you'd give it to us, and we desperately need wisdom. Pray that you'd help us this evening and that we would do our best in the Christian life to run and run to win. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Vince Lombardi said this. He said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Now, Vince Lombardi coached the Green Bay Packers to win the first and second Super Bowls. And now when they receive the trophy for winning the Super Bowl, it's called the Vince Lombardi Trophy. And he said, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Man, he said a lot of good things about winning. But a lot of times whenever people join a track team, they join a football team, they got a lot of different reasons for joining the team. Oh, sometimes they just want to be part of the team. They want to be a part of the group. They look at it and think, man, this looks pretty cool. I want to get in with this group. I want to join the track team. Hey, I want all the glory. I want bragging rights. I want to get in there and I want to be a part of that team. They want all of those things. They say, man, it kind of looks like it might be kind of fun. So they get in there and they start running. They start going to practices and they go for about 2 or 3 weeks. And after about 2 or 3 weeks, you don't see them anymore. Why? Well, it's got hard. Man, you got to run those laps. You got to do all the practices. You got to do all the things involved with it and they quit running. But some people join the track team or the football team or whatever team you want to put in there because they want to win. They are competitive. They want to be on the team. They want to bring the team up. They have the team spirit. They're right in there with everybody and they want to win. They want to get in there. Hey, the Christian life is no different. Sometimes people just get into the Christian race because, hey, it looks kind of fun. Looks kind of different. I want to be a part of that group. I want the honor and the honor to be associated with Jesus Christ. Well, it looks kind of fun. It looks different. But then when things start happening, life gets a little bit rough and they see that it actually takes a little bit of dedication to stay in the Christian race, well, you don't see them anymore. They come to church for about 6 months and they think, man, this is hard work. Every week we're coming to church 4 times a week, reading the Bible, praying. You don't do things that I used to do. And so they have the wrong motive for being a Christian. And so they fall away. I think, man, I'm gonna be a part of the Christian race. I'm gonna be a Christian because I can have a good life. I can have a nice, cushy life, and I can just make it through. A lot of people are disillusioned about what the Christian life really is. Because if you become a Christian, that doesn't automatically mean that your life is going to be nice and cushy and you're just going to float along all the way to the end. Amen. No. No, as Paul says right here, it's a fight. It is a fight. Do you know who the enemy is? So sometimes people are disillusioned about it. Paul says the goal of the Christian life is more than just participating. We must run to win. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Hey, do your best. What's the use of becoming a Christian and this kind of, well, you know, I don't really want to get too involved. I don't really want to win. Why are you going out there to run a race if you ain't going to try your best to make first place across the finish line? Amen. Why in the world would you want to be a runner in a race like that? Man, I want to win. I don't want to just be a part of the group. I don't want to just be a participant. I don't want to be a sideline guy. I want to get in there and I want to run. Are you in the race this evening? Paul gives us 3 principles for running to win. There's some things that we must do in order to win. The first thing is we got to know what the purpose of the race is. If you don't know the goal of the race, there's a good chance you're not going to finish that race because you don't know where you're going. You got to know what the purpose of the race is. Number 2, you have to have discipline. You know, you have to know how to run the race. You got to have discipline. Number 3, you got to have faithfulness. You got to know how to finish the race. Boy, it's too bad that many times Christians, they don't finish the race. A lot of times they get disqualified from the race. I'll show you a few things about being disqualified from the Christian race. But the first thing he tells us is that we must know the purpose of the race. Do you know why you're a Christian? Do you know what the goal of Christianity is? Like I said before, hey, it's not just to have a nice, cushy life where everybody loves you and you just have everything going your way. Hey, there's a lot of strife in the Christian life. The devil's after your soul. The devil's after your life. You got pressures from the world. You got pressures from your own self. You got pressures from your flesh. All of those different things. Paul tells us in this chapter exactly what the purpose of the Christian life is. The purpose of the Christian life is to win others to Jesus Christ. It's about others. He talks about preaching the gospel to other people. He talks about telling other people about what Jesus Christ did in his heart and then winning other people to Jesus Christ. So you have to know exactly what the mission is. Look at verse number 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He said, I'm not running without some kind of vision or direction in my life. I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. He knew what it was all about. Do you know what it's all about? I heard a quote one time, I think this was Zig Ziglar. He said, if you aim at nothing, you will hit every time. You got to have an aim. You got to have a goal. You got to have a mission. You got to have a purpose. And that's the purpose of the Christian life. It's about preaching the gospel to other people. Another quote said, if you don't know where you're going, you'll probably end up somewhere else if you don't know where you're going. Now, I know a lot of us probably weren't alive in 1964, but the Minnesota Vikings were playing the San Francisco 49ers, and I believe the guy's name was Jim Marshall, went and got a fumble from a guy, picked up the ball and started running the wrong way down the football field. He was playing for the Vikings, going against the San Francisco 49ers. Picked up the ball, started running. His teammates started running back after him, saying, hey, wait, you're going the wrong way. Wait, come back. No, don't go that way. And Jim Marshall was all happy running down the field. Had the ball all by himself. Nobody was chasing him but his other teammates. Got down to the touchdown, threw the ball out in the stands, man, hooping and hollering. And the San Francisco 49ers came up, gave him a handshake, said, thanks a lot. You just scored us 2 points. Boy, he felt stupid. Why? He didn't know the way he was supposed to go. He did not know the goal that he was supposed to be at. So if you and I as Christians don't know what the goal of the Christian life is, there's a good chance that you're not going to hit that goal. Paul said we're supposed to be preaching the gospel to others. That means at the place that you work at. That means maybe family members that you have. You don't have to convert them. You just have to preach the gospel to them. Could you articulate the plan of the Christian life to others? Could you tell somebody how to be saved? The only thing you got to tell them is, hey, you're a sinner. We all do things that are wrong, each and every one of us. And there's a penalty for that sin. And one of these days, when you pass this life, you're going to meet God one of these days. And He's going to be the one sitting on the throne as the judge. It'd be Jesus Christ. He'll be sitting there one of these days. And we'll all have to give an answer for our actions. Now, the only way that you're going to get past that judgment and be right with God is to accept His Son, Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He's the only one that's ever lived a holy and completely separated life to God. He never sinned one time. Now, I can't say that, and neither can you. But if you have Jesus Christ as your advocate, as your intercessor, and you stand before God one of these days as your defense lawyer, guess what? There will not be one sin put on your account. You can stand before God clean, just, and righteous one of these days. But if you say, hey, wait a second now, man, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good guy. I mean, I've sinned a little bit, but not too bad. You know what? It only takes one sin to make you a sinner. Amen. That's it. That's all it takes. And guess what? You will not get past the judgment. The time for mercy and the time for grace is right now. You see Jesus Christ hanging on that cross? You see all of the wrath of God poured out upon Jesus Christ? He's being punished by His own Father. But it wasn't for things that He did wrong. It was for my sin and for your sin. Amen. That's the reason Jesus Christ was being crucified on that cross. That's the reason that He was being punished. So we must preach the gospel to every... As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ's last words to His disciples were, hey, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. So we must preach the gospel. General George Patton used to ask his soldiers whenever they went out on the field, he made sure they knew exactly what their mission was. He would go up to them and say, hey, what is your mission? Can you tell me what the mission is? That's the most important piece of information that you can have when you go out there onto the battlefield. What is your mission? So Paul's goal was telling others about Jesus Christ, and all those things. He said in another place, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's the entire mission of the Christian life. Look with me, if you would, to verse number 21 of this same chapter. Actually, verse number 19. He says, and though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant to all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. He said, man, I'm going to go out and I'm going to preach the gospel. He said, I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. He said, to the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Do you know that Paul could relate to a Jew? Paul could relate to Pharisees because he was a Pharisee. Where'd Paul go when he went out to preach anyway? He went to the synagogues where the Jews were and told that he could use the Bible, he could use the Old Testament, teach them and preach to them about Jesus Christ. He could relate to them. He could relate to the Gentiles as well. Acts chapter number 17, he'd go and he'd preach to the Gentiles. He would even quote pagan poetry to relate to Gentiles. He became all things to all men, that by all means he might save some. Hey, he knew exactly what the purpose of the Christian life was. He knew what the mission was. Purpose will keep us focused, and purpose will keep us from wasting our time. Hey, you know what the mission is now. But in order to finish the race, in order to run the Christian life, in order to run the race of the Christian life, you've got to be disciplined. Anybody that runs a race has got to be disciplined. Are you going to go out there and run a race eating Twinkies? No. No, you better not. The other day I tried to go out and run a mile and I hadn't drank water all day. And I came back and I said, my goodness, that was hard. I don't know what the problem was. Usually I don't have this much problem. I didn't drink much water. I had been talking to my daughter Cassidy and she said, did you drink any water? I said, no, I didn't. She said, there's your problem right there. You didn't drink any water. You see, you have to discipline yourself in order to run a race. I mean, you can, as in the Christian life, I mean, you can't go out and do whatever you want to do and be an effective Christian for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go out and indulge in sin and all of these wicked things and then still be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. What did Paul say? He said, I keep under my body and put it into subjection. He said, I don't let my body do whatever it wants to do because I have sinful flesh. Now, guess what? I bet each and every one of you have sinful flesh as well, don't you?
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Yeah, just like me and you. Paul did. He said, I ain't going to let my body do whatever it wants to do. I am in control of my body. And it might want to do some sinful things, but guess what? I'm not going to let it do it.
Amen.
I have control of my body. My body does not have control of me. I keep it in subjection. Must be disciplined. Hey, if you're going to go out and run a race, you better have the right kind of diet. You better drink some water, eat some fruit, vegetables. Better go out and exercise. You're going to go out and run a marathon? You better train. You better run. Same way with the Christian life. I mean, you can't sit around all day, watch the YouTube, and never read the Bible or pray and then expect to go out and be an effective witness for the Lord. Not going to happen. Too much junk food. Too much worldliness. Now, hanging around the wrong kind of folks.
Amen.
Wrong kind of crowd, wrong kind of influences will hinder your race. You are not disciplining yourself. But Paul says we must discipline ourselves to run the Christian race. all of those different things. Discipline ourselves. Not let our body do what it wants to do. He says he controls his body. The Bible to us is milk, it's water, it's honey, and it's bread for your soul. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul." Amen. Did you know that sin will destroy your soul? Sin will lead you astray. Sin will give you bad, evil desires. Sin will affect your emotions. Sin will affect your will. It will affect you in every part of your being, even your body. Paul even said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 13, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Amen. It'll affect your physical well-being. Good way to get knocked out of the race. The Bible says that in the last days, it will be marked by incontinence, lack of self-control. Lack of self-control. He says in verse number 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Hey, you got some temperance. You must have self-control in this life. Just because you feel like doing something does not mean that you should do it. Because usually the things that you feel like doing are going to get you into trouble. I mean, that is the spirit of the age today. Hey, you feel like doing it? Well, go ahead and do it. It's fine. You feel like getting drunk? Okay, go ahead and do it. It's fine until you get wrapped around a telephone pole, until you lose your wife, until you lose your health, and then it's not so cool, is it?
Amen.
You see? We must have self-control in this life. The last principle that Paul tells us about is finishing the race. Having faithfulness in the Christian life. Not to let it go. To finish. He says in the last verse, "But I keep my body under subjection and bring it in subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He was afraid that he would not finish the race. He said, that's the reason I keep my body under subjection, is so I'm not disqualified from the race. Have you ever been disqualified from a race? Easy to do. Plenty of wrong things that you can do out there. One time I was watching a race and a girl jumped before the gun went off. You know what happened? We heard a bang and then another bang. And she had to walk away with her head down, dejected. She jumped the gun. Did you know many times Christians jump the gun? God doesn't say go, but they go anyway. God says don't do this, and you do it anyway. You go out and you do something, you don't pray about it, you jump the gun, you're impatient, you go ahead and do it anyway. You're about to get disqualified from the race. Don't jump the gun as a Christian. Wait for God. Wait for His Word. Search His Word. Search in prayer and talk to God. You know another way to get disqualified from the Christian race is to get out of your lane. In the Christian, in any race, you must stay in your own lane. You can't get over here and start messing around with this guy. You can't do that. You're going to get disqualified. You can't elbow. You can't kick. You can't make the other person look bad. You can't do any of those things. You must stay in your own lane. You know what's going to happen in the Christian life many times? You know what happens? They get out of their lane. They start messing around with somebody else. They start trying to make somebody else look bad so they can look good. You're going to get disqualified. Peter says, if you bite and devour one another. You know, Christians are the only ones, I think, not the only ones, but many of the only ones that will eat their own, destroy their own, biting and devouring one another. I don't know how many of you watched the 1997 fight between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Anybody see that? Long time ago. I bet you all know about that fight. I was watching it in 1997. I was excited because, man, Mike Tyson's making his comeback. He had been in jail. Man, he'd gotten out of prison. He's going to make his big comeback fighting Evander Holyfield. I just knew he's going to knock him out because Mike Tyson had a powerful punch. He'd knock him out in like the second round. I knew he's going to take Evander Holyfield. And so they were fighting. I was watching on pay-per-view. I had to pay about $50 to watch this fight. He's fighting in about, I don't know if it's the first or second round, you see Mike Tyson go in and bite Evander Holyfield's ear. And I saw it with my own eyes. I said, what are you doing? I lost all respect for Mike Tyson right there. I should have lost it a long time ago, but right there. I lost all respect for Mike Tyson. He bit Evander Holyfield's ear, and the top of his ear is still gone today. He bit the top of his ear two times. I saw him do it the first time, and they gave him a warning. You know what Mike Tyson was trying to do? He's trying to make Evander Holyfield bleed, is what he's trying to do. So he'd get disqualified from the race, or from the fight. Bit him on the ear. So he bit him one time. He went back again. He's like, got him right there. Spit it out, man. It was bad. I thought, Mike Tyson, man, forget you. You just made me waste $50, and I lost all respect for you. That's it. You know, Christians are a lot that way sometimes, too. They want to make somebody else look bad. They want to bite somebody. They want to slander somebody. They want to use wrong kind of language against somebody to make themselves or make the other person look bad so they can look good. Do that a lot of times. You're about to get disqualified from the race, sir or ma'am. That was Paul's greatest thing. He said, I want to finish the course. And by the way, when he got to the end of his life, he said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He said, I've gone all the way, and I've kept the faith all the way. There's one more thing that will make you disqualify from the race, and that's quitting. Quitting a race. You ever seen anybody do that before? Well, they say, throw their hands up and say, that's it, I'm quitting. I'm done. You can't do that in the Christian race. You can't do that in the Christian life. You can't win. You can't quit. God puts you in the race and He'll take you out of the race. You're not going to quit. You can't quit. You know why? The Bible says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He called you. He saved you. He put you in the race. If you're doing something wrong, He's going to take you out of the race, but you're not going to quit. You won't quit. He's going to carry you all the way through. As a matter of fact, if you get out of line, you know what God's going to do? He's going to smack you back into line. Because He's a good Father. He's a good Heavenly Father. Amen. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It didn't say He might perform it. He will perform it. You're going to keep going. Now, are you running to win or just participating? Or are you saved this evening? Hey, let me tell you something. Salvation, being a Christian, is not all about being a good person, because you and I are not good people. We are not good. God is good. Just because you're religious, just because you go to church, just because you do this and that does not make you saved. That does not make you right with God. There is nothing in this world that you can do to make yourself right with God. I don't care if you work until the day you die. You will never be right with God no matter how much you work. In order to be right with God, you must be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you want to be saved, repent and believe. That's all you must do. Repent and believe. Quit thinking you're a good person. Quit thinking you're not that bad. Have a change of mind about yourself and about Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a change of mind about that. Go to Him. Receive Jesus Christ. He will be your advocate. He will be your intercessor. But for those of us who are saved, if you're in the Christian race, run to win. Run to win. Do your best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, dear Lord, for all that You have given to us. Thank You, God, for a Savior. Thank You for grace. Thank You for mercy. Thank You for help. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. We're looking to Him. We're not looking to ourselves. We're not looking to other people around us. We're looking to You, Jesus. We're looking to you for strength, looking to you for wisdom, because you are all of these things. Thank you, dear Lord. We are undeserving. Lord, I pray that you would help us this evening to do our best and run to win. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.